My wife says that I follow my nose. And sometimes I can kind of figure out where I'm going. Sometimes I'm too proud to stop and ask. How many of you guys are too proud to stop and ask directions? Too much of a man, amen. Well, I have been carrying my phone around because I'm getting older and I might get lost here on the property. So if you're going to find your way, sometimes it's good to have a map program. Now, you've got to have the device. The device has to be on. You need the program, the map program. Like, I use Google Maps. And you have to have some things in Google Maps, like you have to have an address of where you're going, where you're starting from. And then, depending on whether or not you want to listen to that little lady that's in there, you might want to turn the volume up or down. But this morning I want to talk about GPS. How does God, how does He direct us? Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, first of all. And let's see a problem that we have, Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Jeremiah 10, 23 reads, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In Proverbs 20, verse 24, we read, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Proverbs 21, 2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So if we really don't know the direction we need to take, but God does know the direction we need to take, how does that happen? That we find out exactly, I mean, Brother Wilhite, you said last night that you knew you were exactly where God wanted you, and how does that happen? How does that take place? Well, if we're not careful, there's a lot of things that we let determine our direction. For example, we might let our feelings direct us. Well, I just feel like I ought to do this. Or we might let problems direct us in that I want to avert problems. I want to go around those mountains. I want to somehow avoid that mud hole. Maybe life feels like an obstacle pit of obstacle course of mud pits for you. You get out of one and end up in another, and you don't like it. You're going through it with kind of a grimace on your face. Others seem to be enjoying the mud. You say, I'm not a pig. I enjoy mud. Might be problems. You say, I'm just going to run away from this, get away from this. It might be that you're drawn to things because it's fun. So I just enjoy that. And so therefore, that must be what I'm supposed to do. Or it might be that the opinions of others. Others think this is what I ought to do. Or you might be just following in the footsteps of someone that you admire, or perhaps a hero, someone like that. You say, I want to be like them, so I'll go down the path that they went down. Or sometimes we just kind of stumble along and bumble along in life and just let happen what happens. Well, how do we get from point A to point B? How do we get there? And I want to try to give you five instruments I believe the Lord uses, and this is going to be an acronym, L-E-A-D-S. L-E-A-D-S, okay? I believe the first thing that the Lord uses is what I call legitimate leadership. Legitimate leadership. In other words, God placed authorities in our lives, and there are several. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you drive, and you decide that you want to go into town from where you live. And so you say, I wonder what God's will is for me as far as the speed I can take. Well, God has set up government to say 80. Okay? So God's will for you is not to go over 80. Okay? God is using an authority there to give you what His will is. Okay? Say, but I don't like that particular authority. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. God uses authorities. For example, you have a pastor and a church. And if your pastor or your church is teaching or has guidance or counseling for you, that needs to be taken into consideration. Because 1 Corinthians tells us that God sets the members in the body as it's pleased Him. And you need to be a member of a New Testament church. You really do. And if you're not, then God's will is for you to be saved. And if you're saved but not baptized, you need to be baptized and a part of a New Testament church. That is God's will for you spiritually right now. You need to take steps in that direction. And so God then gives you a pastor and a church family over you. Like, for example, when we were making the move here to Australia, there was a dear elderly lady. I've known Sylvia for 40 years. Sylvia's in her 80s now, and she came up to me. She's kind of getting stooped over now. She said to me a couple years ago, she said, "Brother Will Height, I want to read your testimony of how God called you to Australia." So that was Sunday morning. I think Sunday night I either brought her a copy or I emailed it to her, and a few days later she came back and she said, "Okay, I'm convinced God's called you to Australia." So legitimate leadership, all right? Your parents, big role in your life. And I don't know what you're facing as far as your parents. I was saddened by some of the testimonies that I heard last night, some of the homes that you come from and some of the struggles and things like that that you face. But by and large, God uses our parents. And I would say that if your dad has walked out of your life or your mom has walked out of your life, perhaps there could be a surrogate dad or mom that you could go to for counsel. Maybe your pastor and his wife, maybe the youth pastor and his wife, maybe another godly, and say, "Would you just help guide me through life and counsel me and go to them for advice?" What would be wrong with that? What would be wrong with that? Especially if your parents are not saved or if they are out of the picture for some reason. That can be a good thing. So God uses legitimate leadership. And when I was telling someone that my pastor is 18 years younger than me. And I taught him when he was in high school. And I taught him when he was in our Bible Institute, our college, and our church. And I go to him, call him up, WhatsApp him, "Preacher, what do you think about this?" Why? He's 18 years younger. I mean, some of you aren't even 18. You wouldn't even think about asking a kid that's not born yet for advice. So legitimate leadership. Now, under the letter L, right, what is my response to this? Okay, my response is submit. And if you cannot submit to what they tell you to do, in other words, if your parents or leadership ask you to do something that's ungodly, then what you need to do is supplicate. You need to pray for that authority over them, like Daniel did. You know, Daniel said, "I can't eat of the king's meat," so he appealed to a higher authority and then was given permission. I think sometimes we rebel, we buck against authority rather than praying for God to bring down pressure on them. I think that's a good principle there, is to appeal to a higher authority, suggest a creative alternative to your authority if they're asking you to do something that you feel would not be God's will. But submit and supplicate. Proverbs 21:1 says the king's heart is where? It's in the hand of the Lord. Do you believe that? So then that means God can change my authority, or God can bring pressure down on my authority. Legitimate leadership is the first instrument or tool that God uses. Okay? Number two, God uses, not only God placed authority, but eternal exhortation, God's word. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God is going to use his word to guide and direct you. Now, there are a lot of precepts in the Bible. There are a lot of principles in the Bible. There are a lot of promises in the Bible. And you can trust your Bible. Get in the Word and see what God says. And never, ever knowingly disobey the Word of God. Never do that. For example, God says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Okay, so women, you can't be a pastor. Yeah, but God's called me. No. That would be going against the Bible, okay? If God says there's a curse on you if you deliver liquor to your neighbor or to someone else, then, yeah, but I got this job and it's driving a truck that has booze on it, but no, God does not want you to do that. Yeah, but it's a job and I got to work, but God says that's not the job you have. So, okay, so we're talking about principles and precepts here. And so you need to know your Bible. So you read it, you heed it, you study it, you know it, you grow through it. And if you don't have an answer about something, maybe it's because you're not in the Word. Maybe you need some advice. Maybe you need some counsel. You know, I can't do this, but if there was a little child here, perhaps I could put him up on my shoulders. And could he see farther if he were up on my well, maybe not my shoulders, maybe somebody else. Could he see farther if he was up on somebody else's shoulders than if he was down here? Certainly he could. And so God can use the preaching, teaching, the Word of God, and things like that from others to help us see the direction we need to go. Some testified last night that they have been a little bit puzzled about their future, and yet coming to camp, they just said, I'm going to come to camp because maybe, and I hope it has been a help, you know, in some of the lessons that you had and some of the studies that you've had and things like that, so that you can see further, because God is going to use his word to do that. Okay, now in my life, God clearly directed me here through the Word of God. And I have a friend in South Africa who I had talked with back in the middle of 2015 about. I just don't know if God wants me in Australia or he wants me to stay in Africa. I just don't know. And he said, have you asked your church to pray about it? So I wrote an email and I asked my church to pray about it. And at that very time, I think it was probably that very day, I said, you know, if I'm going to find out from God if he wants me in Australia, I'm going to have to find it in his word. And so for some reason, I was waking up early. I want you to turn to a verse, go to Isaiah. I was getting up early in the morning, and I got up early in the morning there, and it happened to be in first part of August, and I just happened to be in Isaiah 24. So I said, okay, God, if you're going to show me if I'm supposed to be in Australia or not, I'm going to have to get this from your word. So I started reading Isaiah 24, and I got down to verse number 15, and I got past verse 15, then I backed up to verse 15, and it says, wherefore, glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel, in the isles of the sea. Now, I know that in prophetic literature, the isles of the sea are referring to the Gentile nations. But God got my attention because I kind of think this continent is kind of like an island, you know. And there's a few islands around here, especially on the east side, like, you know, Vanuatu and Nauru and Fiji and the Solomons and oh. So I jotted that note down or that verse down and I continued to read and I continued to read. And by the time I got to the end of Isaiah that morning, I think it was that morning or the next morning maybe, I had 60 verses out of Isaiah. And look at the end of Isaiah. I Okay, now in my Bible, it's laid out like this. So I had just finished chapters. I couldn't wait to get out of Isaiah because God was giving me so many verses on trusting Him, especially in chapter 41, 2, and 3, and things like that. I